Man, sometimes you wish the off-air conversation was on air, and sometimes definitely not.
Nope, not that one.
Everybody's done. Everybody's done for if it is. Welcome back, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. Appreciate Kevin Pillar for jumping on the show. Yeah, it's going to be great stretch run as we start to figure out the playoff picture, Major League Baseball, and we'll continue to have somebody from foul territory each and every week as we get closer to playoffs. My big takeaway, and he wasn't being a homer because he didn't pick the team that he played 7 years, where I'm sure he has a lot of fans from up in Canada, is like, yeah, Seattle's a team. Short series, wild card round, you don't want anything to do with the Seattle Mariners. And it's not even like they're playing great ball right now, but that's a team that still stands out to him in the wide open AL.
They've been sort of a sexy pick for a few years now, really ever since they called up Julio. They've been sort of a sneaky team to win the division, to win the pennant. The talent, though, is finally there. And I think a lot of people around Seattle feel that they have the 1-2-3 in the rotation. They could easily win it. I know we joke about this, and I was listening to a baseball podcast yesterday with Rob Bradford, who works for Odyssey. And he's on with, I can't remember the analyst he was on with, but they were talking about how wide open the AL is. And Bradford made the comment, I say this every year, but it's never been more wide open. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, because for as solid as the Yankees were last year, you don't have that guy that you know you can give the ball to in a playoff game and he'll go out there and deal. I mean, that guy coming into last summer and planning for 25 was Gerrit Cole. You don't have Gerrit Cole. He's not going to be there in the playoffs. So is Max Fried the guy? Maybe. I don't think it's Carlos Rodon. All right, go win me one game. You probably go Fried, but I don't know that he's the guy. So you're looking for flaws in those four teams. I call them the big four in the American League. Seattle, Toronto, New York, Detroit. Seattle's got the best offense, I think, when everybody's clicking. And Detroit has the best get-me-a-win guy in Skubal. But it could be any of those four teams. And watch it be a team that sneaks in. If our Texas Rangers get hot and make it, I think they could be interesting. But I don't think that's going to happen. I'm just kind of trying to speak that into existence.
I wish you would. Every day I look at the standings and I get annoyed with the Texas Rangers. Was it Eduardo Perez? Or
it
Buster could have
been.
Olney? Yeah.
It was somebody like that. And Bradford says, I know we say this every year, but the American League is as wide open at the top as it's been.
It is. There's no team. I asked that question to Pillar because I wouldn't know how to answer it. There's not a team that I'm scared of if I'm in the AL playoff picture. You just want to get in. You could make the case that the top three teams are actually all in the same division in the East. I know record-wise and run differential-wise, that's not the case, but I think you could make that case. What's so funny?
I'm laughing because I just checked our text thread and Brian Gerch sent a picture of a poodle.
I don't even understand what that. He has the most.
Yes, you
responses.
Do. You know exactly what the poodle is.
What does it mean?
Oh, now exactly.
I get it. I forgot about the poodle. I forgot. The guy looking for attention at all times.
How could you forget the poodle bite of 2025?
I mean, he didn't make it back. One poodle bite, and he's still fighting the good fight. Anyways, let's talk college football.
Where were we? Sorry, let's where were we? My bad.
Let's get on track, not back on track. Let's get on track. Heisman Trophy, you cashed a big ticket. You pumped it up on the show a whole lot. You were telling people go bet Travis Hunter, and you know, maybe people hesitated because it was a non-quarterback, but that happens once every few years. I want to ask if you're buying into any of this. So if we go back to 2000, let's work backwards. Let's start with Travis Hunter. Okay, so you got Hunter, a guy that plays both sides, and with the season he put together, it didn't matter if Colorado was in the playoff or not. It ended up not being, but it didn't matter because he's a unicorn. People saw something they've never seen before and maybe we'll never see again. So Hunter's your Heisman winner. Before that, we had a run of three quarterbacks. Then in a bad quarterback year, it was Devontae with Alabama. Before that, four quarterbacks. Then it was Derrick Henry, five quarterbacks. Then it was Mark Ingram, three quarterbacks. And it was Reggie Bush, then five quarterbacks. That brings us to 2000. It feels like after you have a non-quarterback win it, and I know it's kind of priced this way, it feels like for sure it's going to be a quarterback. That's been the trend since 2000. You don't see non-QBs win this in back-to-back years, but there are a couple of Jeremiahs that are awesome, that are probably going to be great at the next level. Notre Dame and Ohio State I'm talking about. Are you looking at Heisman Trophy big picture as we're zooming out and saying, man, they went non-quarterback this year. They don't do that in back-to-back years. You got to go QB?
I would think it's a quarterback because you had so many big-name quarterbacks flame out last year. Remember the favorites last summer? This time last year, we were talking about co-favorites at most books. Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck. Those were your co-favorites to win the Heisman. Now, I'm invested in Beck, as everybody knows. I'm not going to break this down because we've talked about it for months now. I bet Beck, Blue Book had a 37-1 in the middle of June, end of June maybe. That number is gone. I assure you it's gone. And we had a lot to do with that. I see him now around the 18-20-1 range, which you can't sit here and say you love it as much as you did when the price was double. But I want to buy dips on guys, and that's a big dip. From 8-1 last summer to 37-1 at the time this summer. The math wasn't mathing for me there. But I'll be honest with you, the last couple years, my preseason Heisman pick hasn't hit. 2 years ago, I was Penix, and Penix had a really good season, but he wasn't the Heisman. And my pick last year was Jackson Dart. Had a good season, didn't win the Heisman. I have been able to, and you talk to a lot of people that have pull and that, you know, might have the ability to not sway the market, but affect the market. And they told me end of October, 2 years ago, go bet Jaden Daniels. Now, a lot of wise guys would see that 5-1 on Jaden Daniels at the time and go, nah, I missed the number. But then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, he's plus 150. So the Heisman market, the last 2 years at least, has been a market where you can take the favorite and maybe not get the best of it, obviously. But Travis Hunter this time last year is 50-1. We bet some 30-1 week three, and we kept adding on 12-1, 6-1. Now, some guys would tell you, you can't bet 12, you can't bet 6. Well, going into the ceremony, he's minus 500. So why can't you bet 12 or 6? It's almost like you can be late to the party and still get a pretty decent number. I mean, what's wrong with having 30? But I remember last year I told a guy that bets for a living, I said, I'm going to bet this at 30. Nah, I can't do it. He's not going to win, and you should have got 50. Well, I hit 30 and 12 and 6. So I think it's paramount that you understand the way the market shapes after the first month, and really you can key in on a guy or two that the market just kind of falls for. And the media was salivating over Travis Hunter last year. Salivating. You knew at the end of October he was probably going to win the Heisman. And you could have bet 6-1, 5-1, 4-1. But a lot of wise guys were telling me, don't add. It's not a good number. Maybe they're wrong.
It is if he wins. It is if he wins. I'm trying to remove that line of thinking. I fall for that sometimes too. Like, it just bothers you to your core. Like Horton, right? Cade Horton. We're talking about him with the Cubs for NL Rookie of the Year. It's like, man, but before last night he was 40 and now he's 20. Yeah, but you also have another data point. That's why he moved from 40 to 20. That's why Travis Hunter moved from 50 to 30, because you had a data point. And what I would push back with is, well, what I would have bet him at 50 is not what I'm going to bet him at 30, right? I'm guessing that's the case too. Like, you have more intel, so maybe you're going to increase your risk, increase your bet on that. That's something that I think a lot of us fall for. Like, you're mad at yourself for not getting the best number in the world. Okay, but we have more information and people are betting it and we have this performance to look at. You might feel better about it at this point. So I think that's a good point to bring up. Do you know off the top of your head the last time the Heisman Trophy favorite going into the season, the offseason favorite won?
Marcus Mariota, 2014.
Yep. That's it. 9 straight years. The favorite has not won. The favorite's Arch Manning. People are scared. Every year, people are scared of not being on the favorite. Like, oh, because Arch has all this hype. He's around 5-1 right now. So for us, at least I think you agree, like, that's scratch him off. Scratch him off. Let's go somewhere else. You were talking about your favorite conference futures. Like, that's the first thing I started thinking of. Okay, what if we're right on one of these futures with a little bit of value? You've talked about Bama multiple times today. If Bama wins the SEC, if they're in that conversation, they're in the championship game, Ty Simpson's going to get love. He's 20-1.
He's got two NFL receivers, too.
Yep.
I mean, what's wrong with that offense, with that system, that coaching staff? You mentioned bringing Grubb back to run the offense. That combo at Washington was elite. And remember, that's the team that had Michael Penix Jr. and Roma Dunze. And those two did big things. And they got him the ball. They made sure to get Adunze the ball. Penix was in the room. I think that was a good bet. I bet Penix 25-1. I felt good about it. I think he finished second or third. But the talent was there. And the numbers were there. He didn't have a year like Jaden Daniels. I think there's a lot to like at Alabama. And I had Brad Powers on Chicken Dinner last week, and he said they're my national champ. He's got them, I think, number 3 in the country, power rating-wise. And the more you hear about Simpson, you hear about his athleticism and his ability to break runs in the open field. If he's a dual threat at Bama, and he can carve up some big runs in big moments against SEC defenses, not to mention he's got two NFL receivers at his disposal, there's a lot of potential there, and that number's gotten bet. I don't think he's been talked about a lot. I mean, how many times have you heard Ty Simpson to win the Heisman? I haven't heard it. But no. He was 30-1 a month ago, and now he's 20-1, 18-1. He might not be talked about, but he's definitely taken money in that market.
A guy that has the exact same number, but his team is much shorter to win the title. Every time we have this Big Ten conversation, it's the same thing. It's about James Franklin, whether or not he could win the big game. That doesn't matter for the regular season, though. Drew Aller, I feel like people aren't talking about it. They're talking around him. The same people that love Penn State aren't talking about Aller for the Heisman. He's the same number as Simpson. And they're a much shorter favorite for the Big Ten, the second favorite, I believe, to win the Big Ten. It's all set up for them to be great. And you bring in Knowles, you have both running backs, Aller's, like everybody's, it is set up perfectly for this to be Penn State's year. If it's Penn State's year, shouldn't we be talking about Aller more?
Yeah, would you rather bet Penn State to win the title or Aller to win the Heisman? I'm probably in the second bucket. Because yeah. I believe he can put up numbers over a 12-game sample that will impress. And their big weakness last year was receiver. Look what they did in the portal. They brought in 3 legit receivers in the portal. Okay, we didn't have receivers last year. We'll bring in 3 this year. And we'll give them to Drew Aller. With the 2 senior backs that he brings back, the offensive line is good. And schematically, from a play-calling standpoint, there are not many coordinators better than Andy Kotelnicki. This is lining up for Drew Aller. The problem when you do this segment is we like 3 or 4 guys. Which one do we want to bet, though? I mean, I don't know which one. I don't know who I want to add to my Carson Beck folder with that ticket. I want to add somebody else. I just can't figure out who.
Yeah, it's difficult. You talked about Travis Hunter being 50 at this time last year, and it's funny. Like you pull up Prop Shop, which we recommend a lot, and you only see one book that's mentioned right now for Heisman. Like, oh, well, I like Michigan. Why the hell not? Right? 22-1. Oh, no. Wait, there's 50s out there. There's a few 50s. So make sure you take that extra time to go look around. Joe O. Sammy P. Lightning Bets next. This is the BetMGM Network.